America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Thursday, June 25th, 2026. This is a special day because yours truly has turned 64. Now, we know 64 is a magical birthday because the Beatles sang about it so many years ago.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
So, 64 years old. I'm sitting across the table from my wife. That was my birthday request. I said, Debbie, come on the air with me on my 64th birthday. And so she agreed to do that. She beat me to 64.
I did, by 25 days.
By 25 days. And so...
Welcome.
So I always call her my old lady.
Yes.
And so, Debbie, let me ask you, as we're going to just kind of reflect on 64 years. David said this toward probably when he was in his 60s, Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. I asked Grok, I said, how old was David when he wrote Psalm 37? And Grok's like, well, in his 60s or 70s. And I said, well, Grok, he died at 70, so he couldn't have been in his 70s. Oh, you're right. Yeah, probably in his 60s. Grok doesn't know. But he was obviously old because he said, now I am old. And so, Debbie, as much as we don't want to think about, well, I'm not old, I'm only 64. According to the Bible, that's old.
Well, and I don't want to contradict the Bible, but the bottom line is I don't feel old.
Yes.
So I try to keep a youthful mindset, even though the outside may be deteriorating and not quite what it used to be. I always think, oh, 60's the new 40, you know?
Well, I was... I had sent this song to Jenna Ellis and Tim Wildman this morning, and I just said, hey, look who hit that magic age. And Tim and I are real close in age, but he reminded me that he's not going to be 64 until next year. So mm-hmm. I'm a little bit ahead of him.
Yes.
But 64.
All the wiser.
Yes. So I was telling Debbie, and this really happened to me, I was listening to a song. The old Barry Manilow song about the Copacabana. Remember, it tells the story about Lola.
Yeah, we want to talk old. Let's talk Barry Manilow.
Barry's a little older
than
I am.
He's a little older, yes.
But,
not doing well.
Lola was a showgirl, and she had a boyfriend who was a bartender, Tony. And then Rico comes into the bar, and Tony and Rico get in a fight, and Tony gets shot and killed. And, then the last part of that song says that was 30 years ago, and she lost her youth, and she lost her Tony. Now she's lost her mind. Well,
such a positive spin, Jeff, on your birthday this morning.
So it hit me. This was just a few days ago. It hit me. It's like, okay, I have lost my youth. I dye my beard gray just so people don't think I'm too young.
Well, it makes you look distinguished.
Yeah, distinguished. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of one of those things when it hits you. It's like, you know, how am I perceived by people? And obviously, grandkids will tell you exactly what they think.
Yes.
There's no filter
there.
Yeah,
they don't hold back.
And Lyndon tells me, Gigi, you're old.
Yeah, and what did she say about Poppy.
And she said Poppy was
not old. Yeah. And I said, well, I'm older than Gigi.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Debbie named us for our grandparents' name. I was supposed to be Poppy. She was supposed to be Gigi. And our oldest granddaughter, Emmy, got those reversed. And forevermore,
yes.
Debbie is Poppy and I'm Gigi.
Yeah, we tried to get her to switch and she goes, oh, Poppy, you're so silly.
Yeah, she wasn't going to switch.
She wasn't going to switch.
And so I've just embraced it. I have a female name for my grandparent name.
And I just think mine's more like the flower.
Yeah.
A Poppy.
Well, some girls are named Poppy.
Yeah, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So I'm Papa Gigi.
Yeah.
If you go to the full name.
Yeah.
But, and then Jack, little Jack, couldn't say Poppy or he wouldn't say Poppy, so he was just calling you Pa.
Yeah, it just kept getting worse. But that's okay. They can call me whatever they want. I don't care.
Okay, so David, in his 60s, no doubt, said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. You learn a lot if you are, if you're open to the Lord and if you're seeking the Lord, you gain wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Hopefully, you're a lot wiser one decade later in life. And so I look back, I was 40 years old when I came to First Baptist Texarkana. And so we've been here 23 and a half years. And it's been quite a ride. And just like anything, ups and downs and, good times and hard times. But through all the times, the Lord didn't forsake us. So I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. You know, the Lord says, tremendous promise in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Therefore, we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who promises me, Jeff, I'll be with you through thick, through thin. I'll never leave you. I'll never desert you. I'll never drop you in the grease. I'm going to be with you always.
Well, and I think for me, turning 64, it was a weird birthday for me because it came to my mind, oh my goodness, I have outlived my mother by an entire decade. Because my mom died very young. She died at 54. And for some reason, that just really like caught me off guard. And so I thought, man, so I think because my mom did die so young, I just embrace my birthdays. Because it's like, my mom didn't have the privilege of having those birthdays like I have.
Right.
And so she didn't have the privilege of seeing her grandchildren get old enough to be getting their driver's license. I mean, she didn't have the privilege of all of that. And so instead of looking at it like, oh gosh, I'm getting so old, mm-hmm. I just think, I praise God. I try to embrace the day. But I by nature am a glasses half full kind of girl.
That's good. Yeah. I like that about you. Well, you live every day to the full and you do what you can to keep yourself healthy. It gets harder and harder. I've been somebody that never really had trouble with weight. I need to lose 4 or 5 pounds, but never really like, okay, I'm 30 pounds overweight or something like that. And I used to go to the gym. My body would respond very quickly to lifting weights and exercise. That has changed.
Right.
And so that's kind of like bummer.
Yeah.
I think about the documentary I watched with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He talked about it being so strong and then, now he's in his late 70s, looks in the mirror and is like, what happened to me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as Charles Barkley likes to say, Father Time is undefeated.
Right.
And so Moses said this in Psalm 90. He said, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your angry anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So if you look at how many days you have, if it's 70 years or if due to strength 80 years, we know that my mom's 97, so the Lord's given her a long, long life. But, you know, it's good to see, okay, I only have so many days. I only have so many hours that the Lord gives me on this earth. What am I doing with it? And how am I redeeming the time?
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, we can spend so much time thinking about the future and worrying about aging or whatever that we just miss the joy of today. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we need to plan. Yes, we need to take care of ourselves. All those things are important, but they can't be the all-consuming driving force, because then you miss what's happening all around you.
Right. And I think it's true. It's important too. As you get older, you know, we see this tendency. Older people talk about their ailments a lot. Mm-hmm. And I get it, because it's like, hey, I used to be able to do stuff and now I can't do anything. But I like what my friend Dean Barry said. He said, my wife and I just determined we're not going to talk about that stuff. And he said, as you get older, it's the pain du jour. You know, what pain do you have today? Because guess what? You are going to have aches and pains and things are going to be harder. It's harder to get down and tie your shoes and those kinds of things. I think it is important to stretch, which I don't do.
No, you don't.
And I need to do that. Stretching is important. And I like what Dean does. Dean's 85 years old. He takes time. He says, you know, I'll periodically during the day, I'll get down on my hands and knees so I can get back up and just force myself to do that. Because Debbie, I don't know what it's like for you as far as getting down on the ground and getting back up. That gets harder and harder.
I don't have the difficulty with it that you do. And it goes back to the title of my book, were I ever to write it. And it would be Nerds Age Better. So I was such a nerd, you know, growing up. I was not in athletics. I didn't do anything like that. And so I didn't put a lot of, I didn't have a lot of unnecessary damage to my joints. I didn't put pressure on them and stuff. And so I don't have those aches and pains. Now, that's not to say I'm never going to have them, but to date, I don't have those. Because I can remember you asking me one morning, do you just like hurt when you get out of bed? I'm like, you know, I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, is it hard for you to like get down on the ground? You know, it's not. Is it hard for you to get up? It's not, you know, and so, and I don't do a lot of stretching, but I didn't stress my body out because I just didn't do those activities when I was younger.
Yeah, I played a lot of basketball and I've had four knee surgeries from basketball. Mm-hmm. And broken bones and, you know, just a lot of things.
A lot of tears and sprains. Yes. And tendons and so, all that kind of hoopla. And I just never had that.
Yeah.
So it puts me at an advantage a little
on
bit.
On the horizon for all of us who know the Lord is a glorified body. And the Bible talks about that. You know, it says that our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory through the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. So as you do what Arnold did, as you get older and look in the mirror and just say, what has happened? Where did this guy come from? What happened to that young guy that I just saw a few years ago? He's not in the mirror anymore. Just know that, hey, the best is yet to come.
Well, and I think, you know, you see so many women go to all these extremes to try to keep their youth. And it's like, you know, here's the thing. Father Time is going to get you. It doesn't matter what all you do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with trying to look your best. So don't hear something I'm not saying. However, age is going to catch up with all of us. And if we're lucky enough to live long enough, mm-hmm. you know, because not everybody has the privilege of walking this earth long enough for those things to happen. But yeah, it is coming for us. And so it's like, okay, I've got to, from the beginning on this side, I've got to figure out, how am I going to approach that? Am I going to have a positive attitude? Am I going to be gracious? Am I going to be thankful? Am I going to do it with elegance and style, or am I going to get grumpy and
you
don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to gripe and complain and always be, you know, upset.
Negative Nelly.
The world stinks and everything stinks and everyone's against me. Do all things, the Bible tells us, without grumbling, without disputing, without arguing, and prove yourselves to be children of God as lights in a darkened world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about things that we've learned with our 64 years on this earth. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and I'm with my wife, Debbie, on this special day, June 25th, 2026. I'm 64 years old today, as the Beatles sang, and this was a long time ago when the Beatles sang that song. People didn't live as long back then, and so when you're 64, you were really old. I still remember John Wooden when he coached the UCLA Bruins. They had a policy in place at UCLA that at 65 was mandatory retirement. Mm-hmm. Now we have a president who's 80 years old. You know, things have really increased, and most people don't retire at 65.
Right. Well, Jeff, let's talk for a little bit about things we've learned, stuff I've learned.
Okay.
What are some things, as you reflect back over these glorious 64 years, what are some things that you've learned, life lessons?
Well, you know, when we think about marriage and family, I learned through Jill and Jay and through Amy and Travis, when you're in that stage of little kids, it's just hard.
Yes.
And when you have little boys that are rambunctious and all boy, your house is just going to be a mess. And so as much as you'd like everything to look like good housekeeping, it's not going to. So as we tell Amy all the time, just embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a special time. I know it's stressful, but just embrace it. Your mom told me when we had little kids, hey, this is the best time in your life. And it didn't feel like it.
No.
It felt like it was just endless and difficult and no sleep. And
yes.
And so, you know, when we do parent-baby dedication, we encourage those young moms and dads, hey, as you'd like to tell them, the days are long, but the years are short.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to be in your house for so long. So love them, squeeze every drop of juice out of that, mm-hmm. That experience. And so I think a lot of it is, you know, don't take things too seriously. You know, enjoy life and enjoy the days. Give the days to the Lord. Take the good with the bad and just know that, hey, this too shall pass. Somebody said one time the greatest five words in the Bible are, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. If you're in a difficult season of life, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. God is the God of hope. Keep trusting Him.
Well, I think just to piggyback on that, one of the things I've learned is to just enjoy your family. You know, like I mentioned in the top half or the top segment today, it's like, you know, I lost both my parents early in life. I was 32 when my mom died. I was 39 when my dad died. So for us to be the ages that we are healthy as we are so that we're able to go and blow and do things with our kids and with our family. That's just, I see that as such a privilege. Mm-hmm. And it's important to not see that as a burden, but to see that as a privilege. And just the importance of family, because at the end of the day, that's what you have. Mm-hmm. And the most significant thing you have at the end of the day is your spouse, mm-hmm. you know, because your kids, they grow up, they have their own nuclear families, they right. have their spouse. And so in light of that, all along the way to make sure that that's the relationship that you focus on and make sure stays very, very healthy mm-hmm. is the relationship you have with your spouse.
You know, you and I both like the Bee Gees.
Yes.
And, you know, they're all dead except for Barry.
Except for Barry. Solo Barry.
He's the oldest.
Yes.
And so I saw an interview with him a few years ago, and, you know, Barry doesn't sing like he used to, doesn't look like he used to. And they asked him, what are you most proud of? And he said, my family. Mm-hmm. And they said, why is that? And he said, because that's what's real. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's an interesting answer. You know, all the fame and all the Saturday Night Fever fame and all their top 10 songs and all that stuff, that comes and goes. You know, you have your day in the sun, so to speak, and not very many people are chanting Barry's name anymore.
Right.
You know, I don't know what, if he does music anymore, I mean, it's not going to be good. People will come just to honor him. Mm-hmm. But,
well, you know, another thing he said in that interview or a different one was one of his biggest regrets was that when each of his brothers passed away, they weren't getting on, to quote him. We weren't getting on. And so, you know, and you can't go back and fix that because mm-hmm. you didn't take the opportunity that you had to fix that. And so that's an important life lesson too, is to, you know, as best you're able, like the Bible says, don't be in conflict with anyone mm-hmm. else, you know, just resolve things and don't let things just keep having water under that bridge and water under that mm-hmm. bridge, but to resolve things.
Another thing to do, I haven't done this, but my friend Stan did this, Stan Williams. He wrote out his life story, how he came to Christ, and for his kids and his grandkids, so they would know about their dad and their grandfather. And he talked about funny stories in his life. And Stan was a crazy nut until he came to Christ, and been a dear, dear friend, was in our wedding. And I thought, you know, that took him time to do that. But that's a treasure for your kids. You know, I asked my dad to do that. He got through some of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember my oldest brother, Larry, was like, how'd you get that? I said, well, I asked him for it. And he wrote, I'd like to see that. I'd like to get a copy of that. You know, kids want to know about their parents. They want to know what their life was like growing up. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can share, you know, with our children, with our grandchildren, this is what your dad faced, this is what your granddad faced, because, you know, I hate this phrase, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know, we're all people. And so you look at your dad sometimes like he's Superman, but he's just a man. You know, even these guys in the Bible that seem larger than life, Elijah, larger than life, you know, went up against King Ahab. And the Bible says in the book of James, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He's just a guy. When I was in seminary, they were talking about, you know, we see the apostles sometimes, it's like they float down the street. They don't walk because mm-hmm. they're just above it all. They're not. They're regular people. Daniel was a regular guy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were regular guys who were facing death. And they would not bow to the image. Daniel wouldn't stop praying, got thrown in the lion's den. In today's world, and we talk about this a lot on Real Truth for Today, but in today's world, we have to be willing to experience loss, whether it's loss of friends or loss of a job or loss of our freedom. We could get arrested for our faith in Christ, or even loss of our life. We have to be willing to say, okay, I'm not going to deny Jesus. And if you, like our brothers and sisters in Muslim countries, deny Christ, say that Muhammad is the prophet and there's only one God and his name is Allah, and if you don't do that, we're going to cut off your head. And those people say, well, cut off my head. because I'm not doing that. And they're faithful. All those Nigerian Christians are being slaughtered. Those people are faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, Jesus said, and I will give you the crown of life.
You know, one thing that I was thinking about is you talked about the fact that, you know, your parents were just people. And that was a big discovery for me in terms of just a life lesson as I look back. When I came to the understanding that my parents were just people. So they came into their marriage. They came into being parents. They had their own hurts. They had their own difficulties. They had their own things that had happened in their childhood and their growing up years that drastically affected them emotionally and relationally and everything else. And so when I came to the understanding that my parents were broken people, they were not these perfect, idyllic, should have everything all together. And when I came to that realization, it was very, very freeing for me because it was like, okay, they were broken people just like I'm a broken person, but with 100% of their brokenness, they loved me. And so it helped me as I reflected back to process through some of the challenges that I had growing up based on my parents' brokenness. And then to really think through that in terms of just my own parenting and how I did that. And, you know, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. And so all you can do is love the best that you know how to love. And you can't do that without the Spirit of Christ living, the Holy Spirit being within you. You cannot do that. And so to just realize and release my kids and my grandkids, like, okay, God's got them, regardless of the mistakes that I may make because of my brokenness. He's got this because he is a perfect parent.
Right. Well, and so I've said many, many times, you know, the three things that we have to have just chiseled in our hearts in stone. This is not going to be erased. God loves me. God is good. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you know down deep in your soul that no matter what happens, I know God loves me. I know that God is good. The cross proves that he loves me, and the cross proves that God is good and gracious and kind, and that he can work all things together for good. I love what one preacher said. I heard this years and years ago, and it's such a great statement. God does his best work in the darkest places. Jesus was put into a tomb, and they rolled a stone over the entrance of the tomb, and it was a dark place. And what did God do there? He caused the sun to come up on the third day. That changed everything for everybody who will put their faith and trust in Jesus. So that's the greatest work, because without the resurrection, the cross has no power.
Right.
So it's the cross plus the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, that gives efficacy to the saving work of Jesus Christ.
Well, I think too, to tag on to that, that God is good and that God loves us, those are absolutely phenomenal foundational truths we have to really believe, but that he has sovereign control over everything. So whatever comes into our lives, he may not have caused that, but he did allow it. And so that goes back to the Romans 8:28. It's like, okay, even those things that he didn't cause but he allowed, he can even work those things together for good. And I think when we realize and really wrap our brains around his sovereign control, we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be fearful because he's got it. You know, I just read this morning in Judges the verse about Gideon where God spoke to him and said, mighty warrior. You know, here Gideon is just trembling, you know. And so I even wrote down, because I had written that verse down in my journal this morning, and I wrote, you know, God sees us for who we can be, not necessarily for how we feel at the moment.
Right.
And, you know, when you start really wrapping your brain around that concept, that he's sovereign over all of that, because he had a great plan for Gideon's life. He was going to do great things through him.
Right.
And Gideon didn't feel that. He felt like a wimp. You know, he was hiding in the threshing floor or whatever. And, but God was sovereign over that. And that's an important element. And because he is sovereign and because he is good, no matter what comes into our lives, he's going to give us the ability to walk through it, and he's going to be right there with us, and he is going to work it together for good. We can rest in those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really can. And, you know, that's what gives strength, hope, power to the Christian life, is that, hey, I know my Father's in control, and I know my Father loves me, and I know my Father can work. He can work in situations miraculously. And so it might seem like it's curtains for me. The end is, you know, there's no getting out of this. I'd mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they stood up to the king. And they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you this day, King, we're not going to bow before your image. Well, okay, did they have 100% faith, absolutely no fear? Well, think, what would you have thought if you were there? And they're doing what is right, but they don't know that God is going to deliver them. Sometimes God delivers, as he did. Sometimes he delivers before the fire. Sometimes he delivers in the fire. Sometimes he delivers after the fire. Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. But that was 2 Timothy chapter 4. And what happens after that? He gets his head cut off. And so God delivered him after. And so we don't know how God is going to work, because we just trust him. We know he's going to work best. And we know that our future is secure. So we don't have to be afraid. We can just say, hey, whatever happens, I know that one day I'm going to wake up in glory. And God is going to be with me every step of the way.
Well, Jeff, let's talk for a minute about what you have learned in life regarding friendships and the importance of friendships.
Well, you know, I think you have lifelong friends. And for me, guys that I played basketball with, guys that I grew up with, they're still lifelong friends. You had those bonds in high school can be really, really strong, especially on a team concept. And, you know, as you get older, so you have high school friends that kind of stay with you through the rest of life. College friends can sometimes be like that. And then you have ministry friends. And some people come into your life for a time, and then they're seasonal friends, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that you don't love them, but you do a lot of things with them for a season because you have proximity to them. And then the Lord moves them on somewhere else. You're still friends, but you're not spending the time with them. But I think it's important. One of the things Chuck Swindoll said one time, he said, notice how many names Paul records in his letters. He had relationships.
That's good. That's cool.
Yeah, he had relationships with a lot of people. He was pouring into a lot of people. And it's important for us to remember that life is about relationships. It's about reaching people for Christ. It's about growing people in Christ. We need to have a Paul in our life. We need to have a Timothy in our life. We need to have a Barnabas in our life. People that are, you know, that are pouring into us, people that are our peers, and then people that we can pour into. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on this 25th of June, my birthday. Happy number 64 to me. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment or some important lesson that you've learned in your time on this earth, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie, and we're talking about things that we've learned during our 64 years on this earth. Debbie turned 64 May 31st, and I just am turning 64, have turned 64 today. And so June 25th, a special day. You know how you get those invitations that says, you know, come to my birthday, please, no gifts. I'm not opposed to gifts.
Right.
So Gifts are they're not shunned. Just teasing. But we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or comment or something that you've learned over your time on this earth and things that have really helped you, they can be very helpful to somebody else. You know, I was with a young pastor earlier this week and just told him, I said, hey, anything that I can do, if you ever need to pick my brain, call me. You know, not to say I'm right about everything, but you're 38, I'm 64. And so there might be some things that I've run into that you're running into now. And I said, okay, this worked well for me, or this didn't work. Don't do it like this, you know. So you can learn from the experiences of others because they're further down the road. So anyway, 888-589-8840. We have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, I love you and your wife. You have meant so much to me in my life. My father started preaching when he was 55 years old. The Lord called me when I was 30 years old, and I didn't start till I was 55 years old, just like him. And my lifetime ministry, I have reached about four people, seen four people make a profession of faith. And I can remember, of all the things I forgot, I can remember when I was sitting on the back row of a church on a nighttime revival, a small crowd, and I was about in the third grade, and God told me that I was responsible at that point for my life, that I knowed right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And I remember when God saved me, and I remember when I rededicated my life in my 20s. And you was talking the other day, I was always wondering, how does he do all these things? How does he get a message every day, preach on Sunday, take these trips, you know? But I always wondered how you could do that. People like you and David Jeremiah do all these things. But my truth was always to people around 8 to 14 people. That was the size of the church. But my told me one time, he was exactly like that. He said, God calls people for big jobs. God calls people for little jobs. Mm-hmm. It's not the size of the job. It's your faithfulness to the job that you was called to do.
That is so good.
Be rewarded.
Amen to that. Lee, that is a great word. You know, I have a guy on my staff that is so good at one-on-one counseling and sharing Christ with people. And he's very pastoral, very patient with people, very kind. But, you know, when I have people call in, hey, will you go visit so-and-so? It'd be like, oh, I can do that, but let me tell you somebody, I can send one of my staff members. This guy is great at that. That's just his sweet spot. So exactly what you said, Lee, God gifts people for different tasks and to do different things. I think about with Noah, you know, Noah had to have some engineering ability that God gave him, either in his personal makeup or for that job, because if the Lord tapped me to build an ark,
scary.
I'd be like, Lord, you know, I have trouble doing anything mechanical. You know, I'm just, as I quote my friend Charles Lowry, I had a mechanical bypass when I was young. I'm not good with fixing stuff and building stuff and that kind of thing. So I appreciate you, Lee. You are a blessing, my friend, and thanks for sharing that. And we need to, the issue is not the size of the job. The issue is the faithfulness of the servant. And whether you have five talents or two talents or one talent, if you use what God has given you for his glory, you can hear him say at the end of it all, well done, my good and faithful servant. So God bless you, brother. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I just want to wish you a happy birthday, Pastor Jeff. It's just been a blessing to me. Now, Pastor Jeff, I'll be 63 in August, and I tell everybody around here I went from head and shoulders to mop and glow. So we're in the same camp, brother.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for always being an encouragement to me, and God bless you. Well, we have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, Pastor, and good morning to you, dear wife. I want to wish you a happy birthday. I'm 75. I'll be 76 soon. And I look back over my life, and I wasted the bulk of it just in sinful living and things. And about 9 years ago, I came back roughly to the Lord and rededicated my life to Him, and that's where I'm at today. And I'm going to stay there and serve Him until the Lord takes me home.
Amen.
And I'm legally blind now, although I can see things, but the darkness is kind of there. One of the things I've been working on or trying to figure out is how to study the Bible. I've never been one to do much meditation. I like to read it because I get a daily reading plan. I read every day. But studying the Bible with my vision and everything, it just kind of, and I've got dementia, they say, and some other things. So studying the Bible is a little difficult for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I appreciate that. Thanks for being so honest about those struggles. You know, the Lord knows that. He knows what we have going on. I would just encourage you. I'm an auditory learner. I'll listen to a lot of things, a lot of sermons, a lot of things on YouTube and different. I like to listen to John MacArthur do Q&As. I was telling my pastor friend just this week, I said, you can learn a lot with the way he answers questions, because those questions come up a lot about eternal security, about free will and the sovereignty of God and those kinds of things. And so you can learn a lot just from how seasoned men in the faith and guys who really know the Word of God handle those kind of questions. So God bless you, Dennis, and thank you so much for just calling in. And you know, you're never too old to get your heart and life right with God and start serving Him, whether He gives you 6 months or 6 years or 26 years more. We can live every day to His glory. So God bless you. We have Nellie on the line from Arkansas. Nellie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
I had a comment about Gideon. From what I read, the Midianites had been attacking the Israelites, and they were hiding. The Israelites were hiding in caves and in dens and so forth. And they had called out to God for help. It says that the Lord sent a prophet to them. Next thing we see is Gideon is actually out of hiding. He was bold enough and brave enough to go out and harvest wheat, out there in the open. And then
he was in a threshing floor. He was in a wine press.
Yes, he took it and he harvested. He threshed it out. But first he had to go harvest it. Then he took it and he threshed it out where he could do it without being killed, okay? But he was out there working. And it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree. He was watching Gideon. He was watching Gideon as he was threshing the wheat. And then he approached Gideon and he said, you're a mighty man of valor. That was not a pep talk. God was not lying to him and trying to build up his courage. He was actually out of hiding. He had actually gone out of hiding to go harvest the wheat and thresh the wheat for his family. And the Lord said, you're a mighty man of valor. I can use you. And then he responds humbly, who am I? In the same way that Moses responded humbly, who am I? Gideon is saying, I'm nothing. I come from the smallest tribe. Why are you picking me? I'm nothing.
Right. Yeah, Gideon's threshing. He's threshing wheat in a wine press where you don't thresh wheat. Gideon did not think of himself as a mighty man of valor. Gideon was the least. But Gideon was a person who responded to the Lord, and God used him in great ways. Gideon didn't. If you study the whole life of Gideon, Gideon didn't have a good end to his life, and he didn't want to be made king, but he ended up living like a king, and it wasn't good. The rest of the story wasn't good. But I appreciate that, Nellie. God bless you. And we have David on the line from Arkansas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I was curious as to why we use the name Jesus to call our Savior by that name, because there's not even a he was Hebrew. He is Hebrew, and there's no J in the Hebrew language, and the English didn't get the J until what, 1500, somewhere around there. So, and if you were to move to Jerusalem, even Bethlehem, they wouldn't call you by another name. They'd call you by your given name. So why don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua, which is the Old Testament name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And so they would call Jesus Yeshua in Zaret. If you watch The Passion of the Christ, that is in Aramaic. That's what they spoke, Aramaic. And so they call him that, Yeshua in Zaret, Jesus of Nazareth. So Yeshua is just put into English as Jesus, just like Yahweh is put into our language as Jehovah, but most people are going back to Yahweh. It has to do with the German's sounds. The Y sounded like a J, and that kind of thing. But that's what we call him in English. In Aramaic, you'd call him Yeshua, but it's the same person. It's the Lord who saves. And so I appreciate that, David. God bless you, brother. We have Dirk on the line from Texas. Dirk, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And today is my birthday as well. I'm 71.
All right. Happy birthday, Dirk.
And I'm out running, and I listen to you every morning as I go for a jog.
All right.
And my comment is, when I was a younger man, coming through a troubled family and a hard marriage, an older man took me by his side, a deacon in our church, and we started going to prisons all over the state of Texas. And he witnessed to me and taught me who the Lord was and how to witness to people and how to be, you know, that is a value to him. And that continues today. And it's been 36 years. And I just want to encourage your listeners to get involved with maybe a younger man who is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Come alongside him, mentor him, teach him, witness to him, talk to them, and allow God to use you in those ways.
Yeah, amen to that. That's a great word. Debbie, now we do that in the women's ministry. We're doing it in the men's ministry too. We want to hook up more seasoned men and women with younger women, younger men.
Right.
Because the seasoned person has a lot that they can share.
Right. And we do that in our Monday Moms. That's a big area in which we implement that. And my associate, Bridget, is fabulous at running and organizing all of that. But at each table, there's an older mom that is there with the younger moms as they talk through different issues and get advice about different things. And just bond, just form friendships, especially for those that don't live near family. That is so important. And I know for us, when we were younger raising our kids, even though our families were in town, it was our core group at church. That was where we gained so much of our support system, was through them. And so, yeah, it's so important, that whole idea of mentoring. And we see that throughout Scripture as well. So, I mean, it's a good thing to do.
Well, and there are a lot of young guys, I'm thinking from a guy's perspective. Women seem to be a lot more open to that. I'd like to get an older woman that, you know, has gone through the little kid phase and things like that, get her perspective. Amy's got that with some friends, some of our friends from Champion Forest. And but guys need that. Guys tend to not communicate as well, you know, like women just get together and talk. But guys need an older guy in their life. They need a Paul in their life that can pour into them. They're the mm-hmm. Timothy. Mm-hmm. And somebody that can encourage them to keep going, somebody that can help them through marriage issues, family issues, job issues, things like that, spiritual struggles. And, you know, here's one last thing I want to leave you with. Hey, in life, in the Christian life, when you fall, when you get knocked down, the devil will tell you to stay down, give up, but God always says get up. A righteous man falls seven times and rises again. So get up, walk with the Lord, trust Him, put your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. God will bless you and God will bless you. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.